Hi, I'm Alex, and you're listening to the Knocked Door Radio podcast. This is the season 4, I'm still in London, and I'm going to my next interview to meet Frances Odera-Matthews, a Notion expert that was recommended to me through contacts in the Notion community. It's a tool I really like, and I found it quite fascinating to meet experts because it's such a flexible tool that people have very, very different usage. So I'm very excited to see what Frances will have to tell me about it. Let's go. Hi, Frances. Thank you so much for being with me today in London, near London Bridge, in Bermondsey Bar and Kitchen, I think it's called. Yeah. Thank you for choosing this place. We're outside. The weather is decent. It's good. And so we're going to have a little chat about no code, about Notion, which you're an expert of. And maybe also you can tell me a little bit about the local no code community or all this. First, can you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you for having me. My name is Frances Odera-Matthews. I'm a certified Notion consultant and founder of the Notion Bar. I just moved to London a couple of months ago to get more involved with the really cool scene that's happening around here. I've been a Notion consultant for about 3 years now. But my professional background is in, well, I've worked all over the place. Project management, operations across all kind of industries, so events, e-commerce, creative agencies, you name it. I've always been like a systems builder, and I'm obsessed with anything that's design thinking or psychology or anything like that.
Okay, cool. How did you encountered, I would say, Notion for the first time?
Yes, I used to be an operations assistant / associate at a UX agency. I went to university in America and I worked in DC for a year, worked at a UX agency there. And it essentially became my job to learn Notion in the team. We were a small team, like 10 of us. And one day it became my job to learn Notion and build a Notion for the team.
And how many people were in the team?
So 10 people.
Okay.
10 people. It was really interesting experience because obviously a UX agency would have a lot of opinions about how things are laid out and how efficient the process was and how many clicks it took to get to certain places. So I became a really efficient Notion builder. And it's something that I just brought with me to my next job. I realized Notion was just a digital blank canvas to build anything. So I built myself a digital CV in Notion. And that's actually a template people still buy today. And that just impressed the agency that I ended up working for. And yeah, eventually became really good at it, built out client portals and everything for my new agency in the UK, and realized, hey, maybe people will pay me for this thing. Turns out the answer was yes.
Nice. How did you learn? Did you find resources online? Did you learn by building something?
It was a lot of learning by breaking things. But YouTube was a big help. There are a lot of, like 3 years ago, there were a lot of like 10 things you need to know about Notion type of videos coming out. And so I just watched a few of those, but it was just a lot of self-exploring. And actually, I would say I was an okay Notion builder, but I didn't become a good Notion builder until I started doing like client work. Like I put myself on Fiverr and just got the most random requests. And obviously they just challenged my thinking and stretched my capabilities. And so the more weird things I began to build, the better at Notion I became.
It's interesting. That's something I've noticed. I think the only real way to to become an expert at something is building things for clients.
Yeah.
Because if you build things for yourself, let's say even if you make all kinds of different projects for yourself, you don't have the pressure, you don't have the expectations of a client, you don't have the context even. I'm sure, and I will come back to that a bit later, but I'm sure you had clients which had, I don't know, like very specific needs or things you wouldn't find yourself or something like that. So I think this is the real challenge.
Yeah, just start. That's what I always tell people. They're like, how do I do it? I'm like, just stick yourself on Fiverr. You'll figure it out. I'm not being sponsored by Fiverr here.
Yeah, we're going to come back to this. I just have one first question. Before that, do you find, what would you say is the difference between Notion 3 years ago and now? Because I would say it was probably easier to learn it back then.
Yeah.
Like all the functionalities, or I don't know.
I will say it's a lot better for the power users now. There's a lot more functionality that exists. Even things like Notion has a function called synced blocks, where you can sync sections across the page in this like little red bound, like across your system in this little red boundary. That didn't really exist a few years ago. We had this hack called global blocks, where people would hack the block URL and like delete the bit after the hashtag, and that's how you would sync. And it was really, really hacky. And Notion realized, like, oh, like maybe we should just turn this into a feature. Mm. So it's a lot better for power users, especially the project management capabilities. Whereas I think back then it was a bit more of just like a fancy wiki.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, definitely. I'm quite curious actually, because I think you're the first person I meet that has found clients on Fiverr, or maybe, but also maybe, I don't know, maybe in France, Fiverr is just not as big as somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But I will also say that I might have some prejudices about Fiverr, because I feel like it's very low, not low quality, but kind of, yeah. But I've used it, I mean, for some very specific things.
Yeah.
What was your experience with that? And what are the options also when you start as a freelancer in the UK or in the US?
Yes, I had just seen Fiverr advertised everywhere. Their marketing team is doing a great job.
It's true.
I had never freelanced or anything like that before in my life. So that was just the only, it was very low stakes for me. Like, I had no idea that this would turn into a full-time job. I thought this would just be a bit of pocket money. I didn't even know you could earn like real money from doing it. So I just put myself up there that I think there was one other person on the platform offering Notion services.
And were you offering specific services? Because I feel like Fiverr is quite like, okay,
yeah,
like for 50 euros, I will bid you, I don't know, something. Or was it just like a general, do you remember?
I do not remember. Yeah. Oh, I don't actually remember what my packages were. But I quite quickly realized that I could price myself a lot higher and take myself off of Fiverr, especially when I started making more content on like my Twitter, especially the Notion bar. But I think it's a good way, especially if you're just starting out in your career, just to like get those like very like low pressure quiet clients and build up your case studies and just practice your skills but still get paid. A lot of people will say like, oh, just like start out doing work for free. I'm very much a advocate for like getting your money. Like, if people will pay you like £10 or something, take the £10 instead of £0. Like, stick yourself on Fiverr or Upwork. There are lots of different sites now, but yeah.
No, I agree, and I think if you work for free, you might have like very bad clients, because you have no limits. You have no, as you say, like as soon as you are, there is a price, even if it's very cheap. Still, there is a transaction. There is
exactly
some sort of boundaries, you know, because, and you can say, okay, if you want to me for to do this, you also have to pay for it. And then there's some sort, if everything is free, then the clients have no limits, or even if you agree on something, just
exactly.
I think it's important to get paid, but I think this is I hear also this advice sometimes, do things for free, but I don't think it's... A lot of people are also saying the opposite. So I think it's good to remind people that nothing should be free, in terms of freelancing at least.
Exactly. Or even if you're doing it for no money, maybe there's something that doesn't cost money that they can do for you in return. Like sure. They can write you a case study or just make sure that you're getting something out of it as well.
Yeah. No, I agree. So tell me a little bit more about your clients, like the kind of clients you're working for and what you're doing for them.
Yeah, so I would say it's about 70% businesses, 20% personal, and about 10% template. Like helping people build templates.
Okay. Templates that are going to sell?
That they're going to sell. Yeah. Okay. So I actually have a couple of template partnerships, actually, with some influencers where we have like an ongoing agreement, essentially. Like I have essentially have equity in a template.
Okay, that's interesting. As a business model, I've never heard of that.
Yeah. So it's really fun because a lot of people have like Google Docs or things out there that they want to sell as a digital product and they just need help turning it into a Notion version. So that's pretty much where I come in.
Do you have an example, maybe?
Most recently, I launched a 12-week-year template with Montelby. She's a YouTuber. So that is a template we did together. Also with Lashara Wood, we did a journal template together. So yeah, it's a lot of like lifestyle related things, which is more fun for me rather than building companies' workspaces, which is a lot of what I do.
Yeah, I can imagine. No, it's interesting. And so those people, they have no technical skills, but they have an audience.
Exactly.
You're saying like influencers. So, okay. Yeah, that really makes sense. Actually, that's a very good idea. I should tell people to do that in France. It really makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's one part. And what about like what type of businesses, for instance?
I work with a lot of solopreneurs or small teams. They might work in marketing or they might be a graphic designer or a photographer or something in the creative industries quite commonly. So that would be a good chunk of my clients. But then I also work with a lot of VCs and startups and like scale ups. Like I'm working with an e-commerce scale up at the moment. They're like 60 person team works with the most random project I worked on, which was quite cool, was a merger acquisition for a French company.
Okay.
Actually, I can't say who, but I built the internal landing page for everything to do with the merger and the acquisition.
Okay.
And that's where the companies were like joining together. Yeah, it was fascinating.
Transition. Okay.
Yeah. Nice. So yeah, it's a lot of creative industry related clients, I would say. And it kind of makes sense if you think about it. Mm. Right. Traditionally, maybe those in the creative industry might not be like really strategic thinkers because they're really creative thinkers and they need at the end of the day, everyone needs a system.
Yeah, right? True. Not everyone knows that. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Not everyone can do it themselves.
Exactly.
Even though that's the really interesting thing I think about Notion is that it's a very easy tool to use.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said at the beginning, it's a blank canvas. And so it doesn't really matter that it's not that easy to use. It's like what you put in it, how you organize, how you structure. This is your job.
Exactly. And I've in some way turned into a therapist as well.
Okay.
Through becoming a Notion consultant to the point where I'm thinking, should I get a life coaching degree or something? Because like I mentioned design thinking earlier, but in order to understand what you need to build, you first need to understand what the problem is and what your values are, the way in which you work, and like be incredibly, incredibly honest with yourself. Because a lot of the time what happens is people build these really overcomplicated systems because they've watched this like productivity guru on YouTube, and they're like, I need to track every single thing in my life, and then I need it to be connected to this. And then a lot of what my job is talking to them and being like, okay, but do you actually care about knowing that your goals are connected to your projects? If you don't, I'm not going to make that connection to you, because that's going to be noise on the page. And also, you're probably not actually going to click into it every day. So it's a lot of like getting people to be honest with themselves and like what their workflows are. I sometimes feel like the like Marie Kondo.
Oh, it's a good analogy, I think, because you probably want when you get a client, you have to come talk to them, see how they work. I mean, not necessarily physically, but understand their processes. You have to make them talk. They explain everything. And from there, how do you conceive, I would say, I don't know, like the solution, what that you're going to build, what's the process?
Yes, it's a pretty linear process with me. So especially with my big workspace builds, if it's a big workspace builds across multiple departments, I always start with training, and then I go into a discovery process with each department and get them to unpack their workflow, just like word vomit at me. I'm like, what do you do? And it's really bizarre because a lot of companies have never sat down to be like, this is our process. This is what we do. These are all the documents we use. And so you learn a lot about the team you're working with. And then you can reverse engineer all of those findings into databases that speak to each other. And from those databases, you can make templates. And from those templates, you can build from those templates and the databases, then you can go and build out the dashboards. So it's quite linear, but it does take time. Again, it's a lot of talking to people. It's like,
what's the amount roughly of time you spend in Notion building versus talking to people, make them talk and understanding?
I'd say it's 50-50 actually.
Okay, I would have thought it would be even more talking to people.
It's about 50-50. Okay. There's, again, another reason why companies a lot of the time just choose to outsource to someone else is that it's really time consuming. There's a lot of clicking that needs to happen when you're setting up the workspaces. And no one in the team has that time to dedicate to like make building the Notion workspace their job. But it's the same thing if you imagine you're trying to find an interior designer because you moved into a new office. It's a lot of work. But someone's going to do it.
And you want to arrive in your office all decorated and nice.
Exactly. You don't want to start putting up blinds. You can, but like, is that a valuable use of your time? Probably not.
Definitely. Okay, no, that's really interesting. And when you start working, do you always start with a blank canvas, or do you have sort of templates that you internally that you use yourself to start the project, or every time is very different?
I only recently have some like starter like blocks that I can duplicate, and like it's tasks, projects, meetings. They're always connected together in like this basic way, and then from there I can build on top of that. But more times than not, clients are giving me existing workspaces that I like to call spaghetti workspaces. So I have to kind of like work quite delicately around them most of the time in the evenings so that they can log on and like it's not a complete mess.
Okay, that's interesting. Would you say most of your clients already use Notion?
Yeah, most of them do. Okay. And they bring it to me and they're like, help.
Okay. It's interesting because it's always, but I guess it's more difficult to find clients who don't know about Notion, because it's not, even if it's becoming quite a popular tool, it's still not something, I mean, it would be hard, I guess, but I don't know, maybe you tell me, to find a client who just knows they want a better organization. Because as you said, so many people never took the time to sit and organize their process. But, you know, coming to you and then you tell them, okay, you're going to use Notion.
Yeah.
That happen, or?
Um, I think maybe if I made content more, that might happen, and I like did more like cold pitches and things like that. Mm. But I truthfully haven't really had the time to kind of do have that kind of sales process where I get those types of clients where I'm making the blogs and stuff. I've just been kind of inundated by people coming to with me for their like messy workspaces.
But I mean, it's the best. I mean, it's at least like you have a lot of if people know you for Notion and they come for that, and I think it makes sense already. It's what you're so you're producing a lot of content also. What's your strategy to find clients? And
not currently. I'm recycling a lot of old content. Actually,
it's a good strategy. I think people don't do it enough.
So there's this one tool on for Twitter called Hype Fury, which I spent a lot of time, maybe a couple of days, plugging in and like categorizing all my old tweets into categories, and now it churns them out on a schedule. So like every Monday at 2 p.m. it will be a meme post, every Friday at
but it's going to be a meme post that you've done in the past
the before, and every Friday it will churn out a newsletter kind of promotion post. All of my, I have a Notion course as well, and so it just recycles students' work, and then those get zapped through to my Instagram with Zapier. So I haven't actually made a lot of content recently. I do have a newsletter which I need to pick up again. I had to pause it to move to London, but that's quite exciting. It's weekly. It's called the Notion Zeitgeist, and it's a lot more. It's less productivity, bro. it's trying to highlight a lot of the more interesting things that are happening in the Notion community, and putting Notion more forward in a more like accessible way for people to like understand. But I need to pick that up again. It's summer.
Cool. Do you have any, what would you say is your favorite hack or tips about using Notion? Something you would like to share, maybe?
Something that I teach my clients is, it sounds really simple, but slow down. A lot of the time people, they look at it and they get flustered and like, I can't. And I'm like, just pause. And a lot of the time when you slow down in Notion, you start to notice things. You like, oh, if I hover on this thing and I pause for a second, some dots appear. What do those dots do? Oh, let me click on that. Oh, it's a menu where I can change this. But people get flustered and like overwhelmed by it, because they're just trying to do everything straight away, and they're not just like being patient and like taking it in.
It's a good advice. It's I think in general in the no code space, I see people really have the shiny object syndrome, and I think in Notion you can get this, like all those things are interesting, right? Okay, I'm gonna check this. Or can imagine. It's a good advice, I think.
Yeah.
And I forgot I had another question, but anyways. do you sell templates, or you only do templates with influencers that you were saying, or did you build some yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I started out by selling templates. I do have quite a few templates up on my website. I haven't built any new templates in a while, but a template that I do every year is called the Happiness Bar, which is a journal. And it's an annual journal where it's basically pre-connected, where like all the days are lined up for like the months and the quarters and stuff. And it's really cool. It's been a really fun process, because each year people submit self-care tips to appear in next year's journal. And it's just been an incredible process to be in. This year will be the third or fourth journal now. And I've just got this like community of like thousands of people who like repeatedly download it every year, which is pretty cool. It's fun. I'm working with a personal client right now, actually, and we're kind of building a workspace around her life that involves the journal. So yeah, it's been pretty fun to watch that happen.
Cool. Yeah. And in general, how do you see this template business going? Because I feel like there was really a wave, like so many people have been doing templates, like some have been very successful, actually. Some people like really made a lot of money. But I feel like maybe now is there too much? Is there too many, you know, options? Is it still worth it? What would you say?
So the template Notion template industry, definitely it had its moment. I will say it got quite messy. In terms of, it was really not messy, maybe noisy, in terms of everyone just started making the same thing.
Yeah,
it was a lot of habit trackers. It was a lot of habit trackers. And I was like, this is aggressive. Not everyone needs to make a habit tracker. And then people started doing the growth hacks on Twitter.
It's a good exercise, though, to building a habit tracker when you learn how to use Notion. It's a great exercise. Making a template and try to sell it, that thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't make sense. Yeah. So it was just a lot of seeing a lot of that. And then people were posting the same thing using like growth hacks on Twitter. Mm. And it just became it just felt a bit gross and like icky. So I kind of had to take myself off of Twitter.
Okay.
Kind of. Yeah. But I think the future of Notion templates are the content-based things. It's the information that no one else can recreate, right? You have packaged up your process of how to do X and you put it in a template. Like what I was talking about before with like the influencers, they might have like a city guide to somewhere, but that is their information and it's an easily shareable thing rather than people building out a daily dashboard for X.
What you're saying is more about, it's not like building something that is technical in a way, not building like a tool, but more like the content that you will assemble in this. Yeah, I agree. I've been thinking about that as well.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people have very interesting content to share.
Mm-hmm.
And Notion is great for that. I mean, no one wants to download a Google Sheets or a Google Doc file or something. I mean, but yeah, it makes it very an easy way. And also because people are using Notion more and more for their own thing. I would say, I think the city guide is a good example. A city guide is like purely content, like addresses and things like that. But like, for instance, I use Notion to plan my trip. So if I was, it would make sense for me to duplicate like a city guide or to buy, I mean, whatever, and get it in my Notion space where I organize my trip. I think it would spare me like copy pasting or whatever. So.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And as we see that kind of evolution where it becomes more like product-based templates, I think people who have been trained in things like product design and like UX and UI will really shine. Mm. A lot of my job as an Notion coach actually is undoing inefficient templates, so templates that just aren't efficiently designed with like design principles in mind. It really makes a difference because at the end of the day, you're building a digital product. And so you still need to think, you still need to have a base knowledge of like, or it's useful if you have a base knowledge of like just basic design principles when you're building out these Notion templates.
Yeah, of course. I would say also I would add basic like database, like relational database principles. And I mean, depending on what you're going to build, but it's the same. Like some people, like in the no-code space, people come from very various backgrounds. So sometimes you have people come more from engineering or coding, but then they won't have any UX, basics. And then so they will build things that are overly complicated. And then sometimes you have the opposite, or people come more for the UX, but they don't know how to design a database. And so they will make something like they misuse the relations or things like that. So it's a,
yeah,
it's a whole thing.
Yeah, 100%. And I definitely wasn't a great database builder or a great UX or UI person 3 years ago, but it's been trial by fire. I've just learned on the job and also upskilled myself by watching UX videos and things like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Cool. I think it's a good advice also to master Notion. One last question about Notion. I guess as an ambassador, you're aware of some of the things that are coming next, or maybe even without that. I mean, what are you expecting from Notion? What's on the roadmap? Whether it's announced or you expect it. What's the future?
Yeah. Well, the team is definitely, you can see it in their recent releases, dependencies that move, and even timeline view. The Notion team seems to be doubling down on the project management side of things to focus on the enterprise customers, which makes sense, I guess. So it'd be interesting to see how far they're going to go with that, especially when it comes to things like database permissions. That's been a huge topic in the Notion community for a while. So they must be working on some kind of solution, right? And then it was announced a couple years ago last year at Notion's conference at some point. They are working on a Google Calendar integration.
Yeah.
So,
but didn't they recently announce something of that with the Cron acquisition? Yeah. Finally there was something coming in Notion? No.
Yeah, so there is a sync between Cron and Notion. Well, it's a one-way sync between Cron and Notion where you can attach calendar events to Notion pages from Cron side, but you still can't see it in the Notion side. So
I remember that now.
But
okay, so it's just the beginning of
I guess we'll see what else they do with that, because I will say it's the number one thing that clients ask me is can we connect it to our Google Calendar? And my answer is not yet. You can try and make it really hacky with
automation software,
and stuff, but it's not very clean solution, and it doesn't.
And it's hard to go both ways. Also.
Yeah, it's just overly complicated, and it doesn't sync exactly. So I just advise people not to at this point and just wait.
Yeah, and you mentioned the kind of enterprise shift. Which people have been talking a lot, in France. I know people from the ambassadors, I won't name any, but some were not super happy with some of the things that were happening. I think, I don't know, that's actually that's just the feeling that I got from the talking with them. What do you think on that? Are they forgetting about the makers, more us,
I get it. I can sympathize with Notion as from a business point of view, because at the end of this day, they've got investors to pay and wages to pay, and an enterprise are paying customers, whereas a lot of people are free customers. If they were going to make money off the free customers, they would put ads everywhere, and I kind of don't want ads in my Notion workspace. I can get why they are doing that, but it's trying to please all parties.
It's hard, I think. But what I think is, there is the same talks with Bubble, with Airtable, in the whole ecosystem. This is one of the main topics. But I don't know. I think it's a shame because I don't know. Maybe I'm a bit candid and I'm not very good in business. But I feel like there are still also a lot of personal paid users, and you have millions of them. You still you also make money.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. The enterprises, you need fewer enterprises. They pay more seats to make more money, but I don't know.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting to see how they involve them more in content strategy. And I think that's something you're kind of starting to see it now in the content they put out, especially on TikTok, where it is a lot more kind of like pop culture based.
On their own TikTok, on their official,
Like they made like a Taylor Swift template, and that's the stuff I love making, and that's the stuff that like resonates with like the personal use customers. So it'd be interesting to see how they start to involve the personal crowd more with like content, because in the past Notion's like social image, it's been very clean, very clean cut.
It's true.
Then you do have members on the Notion team are trying to make it like that the clean cut thing appeals to enterprise. Okay, fine. But you're starting to see more content now which is starting to have a bit more fun.
Okay.
So I'll be interested to see where that goes.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Well, we'll see. Well,
yeah.
Okay. Now that's super interesting. Out of curiosity, what are the other tools, like no-code tools that you use? And if you want to, and more, I would add one more general question, just like, how do you organize yourself? Or would you say like your personal like process of working?
So for me, in terms of time management, even down to my personal life, if it's not in my Google Calendar, it doesn't exist. As far as I'm aware. So pretty much everything in my everything that's time based in my life is in Google Calendar. I'm trying to think, like, what would I define as a no code tool? I love Calendly.
Yeah.
Zapier is another one for connecting things. Hype Fury is another one for kind of organizing your Twitter timeline and not tweeting as much. Oh, repurpose.io is incredible. It is a tool where, like, if I upload a TikTok and hashtag it with like Notion, and I can shoot out the same video to my LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter all at once, and each one will be formatted in a certain way. And so it just helps with the content repurposing. So definitely repurpose.io. And Calendly, just for booking meetings and taking payments up front, is super, super helpful.
Yeah. Do you do like the coaching like this, or like, so you say, well, people book an hour with me, you pay up front, and then you do?
Yeah. So that's how I do my coaching, like calls, not necessarily like my projects, that stuff. It's all like just normal invoices. But yeah, coaching, like 3 hours. Yeah, that's all done through there, through Calendly and Stripe.
Yeah, no, that's super, super efficient. I think Calendly, and I mean, like the alternatives are such a great way of like saving time. And also this feature, not everyone knows it, but it's really like for freelancers, making paid appointments, I think is very good. I know a lot of, not a lot, but some experts in the French no-code community, that's what they do now. Whenever people ask them a question, I mean, they answer a lot already of questions, but sometimes they say, okay, here's my Calendly link. If you want that we talk more, just book time, because, you know, like my time is valuable. So, but in France, people have a bit of hard time with that, because most people think everything should be free. There is a bit, so there is this appreciation of, it's hard, like, you know, paying people for 15 minutes or half an hour consultation, I think it's unusual, but I think it's good to educate the market to that.
Absolutely.
I think it's that, I don't know, that's something, I don't know, I would guess that in the UK, it's more like in the US, where people wouldn't dare too much, I would get, like, to ask you for free work or free advices or free consulting or whatever.
I would say there's still a bit of pushback here. Okay. A lot of the time I get a lot of emails of, can I pick your brain about this? I'm like, okay, here's like my Calendly link to book, and they're like, oh, it's a paid call. It's just a quick question might lead to a project. I'm like, I'm still gonna give you useful advice in that half an hour. I don't know. Like, the only free calls I consider now is if it's more like enterprise level, and it's going to be like, oh, you've got like 60 people on your team and it's a workspace.
Yeah, it's worth the investment for you.
Yeah, yeah, I've been like, okay, and I'm just talking to them about my process rather than like looking at their workspace and like saying, do this, do that. If it's like, this is what I think you should do. And I'm like, here's my Calendly link.
Yeah, I understand. No, it's a good point. I think, and this is going to allow me to transition to our last topic. In France, we're lucky because we have this big Slack group, this big like Knockout Friends community. And so like whenever I receive an email like this, as you said, like someone who wants to talk to me for 10 minutes or 15 minutes about whatever, I can tell them, just go ask on the, I'm sorry, I don't have time, or, you know, because we don't really do like short booking sessions like as a company, but tell them, okay, just go ask on the Knockout Friends. And if you really want to work with us, then come and, you know, this is going to be a different process. And I think it's good even for freelancers. It's an easy way, I would say, to get rid of the, you know, like people who don't want to pay, who don't understand. And then maybe after they will come back, you know, and it's like once they're a bit further down the road and understand, okay, now it's not just I have one question, I did an hour of consulting, and then maybe they will pay for it. So that's, it's pretty good. And so to what about here in the UK and maybe more specifically in London? What's happening in terms of community of Notion or no code in general, or like what's the
That's what I'm kind of starting to explore myself, actually, because I moved here a couple of months ago. While I wasn't living in London, I would come in and like try and attend some Notion events and things. So there is a Notion community in London. I think they're mainly on Meetup. But it is really interesting to see it. So I go to a lot of other like non-Notion related sort of meetups, quite a lot of like Where Are the Black Designers? They do a lot of events and things, just kind of like networking, hangouts with creatives and things like that. And it's really funny because like there's always a bit of a screen share or a presentation or something. And as they're setting up the screen, you can see a little Notion logo and I'm like, aha. So I think Notion is actually really powering the creative community in London right now.
Okay.
Which is interesting to see. It's not really spoken about a lot, but it's happening. Like I'll go somewhere at these events and things and they're like, oh, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I'm a Notion consultant. They're like, oh my goodness, we love Notion. So it is a hidden force right now. Absolutely.
That's interesting. Would you say in general, London, I think historically, before COVID, at least London has been a very busy place for the startup. I mean, like the startup culture, like a lot of meetups, things like that. Is it still like this or?
100%.
Okay.
It is kind of hard to find those events. You just kind of end up having to like follow a lot of things on Instagram or like really look at LinkedIn.
Very scattered.
Yeah. There needs to just be a newsletter where someone like plugs in all of the networking events that week. And if you're listening, anyone out there, that's a business opportunity for you. Because, there's a lot happening, but it's a lot of who you know and, like, trying to find out that they're actually happening, which is a bit annoying, but, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's something I've noticed, because meetup.com, I think, used to be really a great way to discover events, but I think COVID really, I think that there are still stuff. I mean, we organize our meetups in France on meetup.com, but I haven't discovered really new things. I think a lot of things, because of COVID, first, I think there is less physical events. There are also now tons of things online. But I don't know, like people have stopped using it a little bit or it just decreased. Maybe it's going to pick up again. Or I don't know. But I think it's not easy to find things. Same, it's the same in France, to be honest. But there are things happening. And the Notion meetup, are you part of the, like, who organizes the meetups in
There's a couple of Notion ambassadors who are like pretty much like have been leading the charge on that. I helped host one at Christmas as the organizer was busy. And so I kind of just like winged it. it's a cool little group. I just need to, like, these past few months I've just been moving, I've been on holiday, and now I'm now just trying to catch up with life. And
all right, I'll come back next year and you will have to tell me what you've discovered or organized yourself, maybe.
Yeah, there's quite a few things that I want to organize myself. Like what I mentioned before, is there's a lot of like cool creatives using Notion. If you want like your typical sort of tech bros, and I'd love to somehow share their stories somehow, maybe in a format like this, similar. Like, but I was actually thinking about doing like little TikTok interview videos like at cafes and just be like, hey, what are you working on, what are you doing, or something like that. But I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, there's plenty to do.
Yeah,
but I think what's you touched on a point that's interesting is that a lot of people, it's like, okay, we're talking here because you are identified as a Notion consultant and I'm interested in everything that is about no code, but actually there, especially Notion, there's a lot of people who are using Notion or maybe doing some very interesting thing with it without appearing themselves as anything related to Notion. Maybe, as you said, they're designers, maybe they're coders, maybe they're whatever. And so it's hard to find those people, maybe, you know, because they're not into like this, I don't know, Notion community or ecosystem or like willingly.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm really finding them at these creative events that I go to. I'm like, oh, cool. Like, you're a photographer? And like, yeah, or they might actually just do their whole like workout program on Notion. A lot of couples are using Notion now as well to manage just life.
Yeah.
And so, like grocery lists. So yeah, there are a lot of cool stories happening.
I've interviewed last year in Zurich, Natasha, who's a Notion ambassador, did a wedding planner template. I think that is very successful. So yeah, that's one use. What's the most interesting use of Notion that you've seen? Oh, interesting in terms of like unexpected or maybe?
I've seen a lot of things. I'm trying to... I've built a lot of things. I will say one of my, maybe from me recent memory, something that I built for a client was food memories was really important with them. Like kind of times they ate meals with their family or things like that, and being able to see that visually.
Okay.
So I've built like a little system, like a meal planner, but you can see the images in like gallery view on like each page. And so they can like look back and be like, oh, that's when we ate out at that place. So it's really like personal.
Okay. Well, it's a nice use. I think it's exactly what Notion could be used for.
Yeah. Yeah. So just a lot of like memory keeping things, I think. And then maybe just from a layout perspective, I kind of started the whole the concept of like the Notion zine, where you're using Notion to create kind of publishing style, like magazine style layouts to like send information to people. And it's been pretty cool to see people like adopt a similar concept and create these really cool like editorial style landing pages for things. So
cool. Well, there's so much creativity. thank you so much for all this. Super interesting. I have two last questions. The first one is not related to no code on Notion or anything. I'm just curious to know what would you recommend to do in London to someone that visits, but something that's not touristic, you know, something that you like to do and you would like to share with someone.
Something that's not touristy and would recommend in London.
Can be an activity, an area, a place.
I would say go to a So Far Sounds show. SoFar is a global thing, but basically they do these secret gigs in like venues. It could be someone's house, it could be in an office space or a co-working space or a restaurant or a bar or a theater. But basically, you know the area it's going to be in, but you don't know who's going to be singing or where it is until the day of the event.
Okay.
So it's a really cool way to discover like new places, I say, that are like not where everyone would go, maybe, like new neighborhoods. That's what I do when I go to new cities, but yeah.
All right, cool. Thanks. It's a good, very, very interesting plan. Where people can follow you and contact you also?
Yep. So my website is thenotionbar.com. That's where you can find all of my packages and my Notion course as well that I did with Domestika. And on most platforms, I'm at the Notion Bar. If you search that, on LinkedIn as well. If you just type in my name, Frances Odoma.
All right. I will put the links in the show notes.
Thank you.
I don't think people will follow you on Twitter since you said we just keep recycling. But
yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Twitter's become a very scary place. It's very overwhelming.
I agree. I think it's unfortunate because I've always felt like this was the most interesting place.
Same.
For no code or for in general. And I like the format, but I don't know where it's going.
Yeah, every time I look on there now, my timeline is just growth hacks. And I'm like, this isn't interesting to me anymore. No one's having like actual conversations. I find better conversations are actually being had on LinkedIn now. So they've kind of like flipped roles in a way, is weird.
It's a bit of an unpopular opinion, but I agree, actually.
Yeah.
I think even though I'm a bit tired of LinkedIn as well, or it's all this like self. But still, there are also some interesting things on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So cool. Okay. Well, I'll put all the links in the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Bye. Well, as usual, Notion experts don't disappoint. They always have so many interesting things to talk about. I was especially fascinated with what Frances told me about the templates she's building with influencers. I found it quite interesting. I've found very interesting model, and I think there is something to learn. Everything else also I think was quite interesting. There's a lot of tips for you to improve your Notion usage, and I think even I would say more specifically the way you could be a good Notion consultant, and everything she was saying about processes and the way she works with companies, these kind of things. It was great. So another great interview. This is the end of this episode, and there will be a last episode in London because I got a positive answer from Max from 100 Days of No Code, and so I'm going to meet him in a couple of days. So stay tuned for the next episode.